Hello and welcome to another episode of the Underhive Lawkeepers. As always, I am Spamiel, and to my right, my mochaccino manvent, Nathan.
Oh, thank you. I was a bit thirsty, and yes, I will have that as my order. Thank you very much.
Hey, once again, so that's two episodes in a row, I think I've been nice to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm concerned about what your endgame is here.
When you least expect it. Maliciously malignant, I think, will be the one I drop on you.
Oh, sure. That already hurts a little bit. Yeah, but anyway.
It should. And to my left, joining us for the first time, is Steve. Steve, welcome.
What the hell have I signed up to?
Honestly, yeah, this is why we wouldn't let you listen to the podcast before you came on.
Right, gotcha, cool. Yeah. Hello.
It's general coolness is what you signed up to.
Ah, general coolness.
You are welcome. We've elevated your status right now.
Because there's nothing cooler than three middle-aged dudes talking about toy soldiers.
I must admit that is like the most creative nickname that you came up with. You said, you know, I'm going to think of a name for you, Steve. And there it is, Steve.
Really dug deep on the old imagination there. Well done, Sam.
Like, okay, cool. Nice work, man.
You know what? I'll do a nice clean edit on this one. And to my left is Steve.
You are an idiot. You are an idiot.
Steve, you know, yeah, so this is your first time with us on the show here. And
I'm gonna be here.
Yeah, we've got a couple of questions we like to ask just in regards to the hobby and that sort of thing there. So, you know, in your own words, how did you get into the hobby? How did you get into Necromunda?
I got into Necromunda because of Nath, actually. Pretty sure it was you, wasn't it, Nath? Like the last through Arcromunda.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'd always liked Necromunda. I was always interested in it back in the day. But my focus was on Warhammer Fantasy and 40K back then. And and it was just always, you know, you'd read about it and read the battle reports and that was all cool. But I never actually played it. I think I did play once in like a Games Workshop. I think I might have been with you, Nath. I can't remember. That was like 20 years ago. I don't know.
Oh, more than.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always had a few favorite gangs. And but yeah, once Arcromunda started, we were like, you know what? We need to play this. So I got my gang and Nathan did his. And I went and, you know, came last.
We also managed to have the quickest game of Necromunda in recorded human history. Yeah.
That was hilarious. Well, I had to go. You had to go. And you're like, just put your leader down. I'll put my leader down. We'll see what happens. It was like who won? I think I won that.
So. No, you won. You won. Yeah, I ran out of ammunition and said, you know what? I'm leaving.
And I still somehow came last in that tournament.
So let me just highlight something for the listeners here. What they did was cheating. No. This is not a time for discussion. This is a time for statements.
Give a what man a they did, power, apparently.
He does. And he gets the opportunity to tell the truth to a wider community. They cheated, fabricated their points, and then went, oh, la-di-da. And then somehow, some person on this episode got away with the best sports award, even though they cheated. Sam.
For the second event in a row, we didn't cheat. We simply modified the rules to ensure the game was the maximum level of fun for both of us.
Oh my God, I have an answer to this, but I don't know what the rating of this episode is, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
We're like a G+.
Yeah, I can't say it.
Okay, so you got into Necromunda through a friendship with Nath, in which it came from a history of Warhammer 40K and Warhammer Fantasy.
But yeah, that's how I got into it. And the gang stuff was interesting. I always loved the Ratskins. I thought the Ratskins were cool. I had some favorite models. And House Delacroix. I'm going to say Delacroix because that's how I think they should be pronounced.
That's correct. Yep.
Did I just jump into your next question?
Yeah, literally going into that one there.
Yeah.
Of all the Necromunda models you can think of, what is your favorite Necromunda model?
I loved that Ratskin model with the shotgun. But I think that's because I was a big Mark Gibbons fan and he drew a picture of that. But there was a couple of scavs I liked. Geez, it's a hard one because they had such cool, iconic models. I was never a fan of Escher. I think the Ratskin model with the shotgun is the first one that goes to mind. But I did love, do you remember the the dudes you could hire, the high scum you could hire. There's the dude with the plasma pistol.
With the skull cap.
Oh, I just remember him pointing the plasma pistol with two hands.
Yes.
He's a bit pudgy, yeah? He had a few too many pies.
But, I have him somewhere here.
I always liked that model as well. But the Spire are pretty cool. They're interesting. But I loved, for some reason, I just loved the shotguns. Like, there was even an Orlok with a shotgun that was really cool. But yeah, I'd say the rat skin with the shotgun. I thought he was really, really cool. A double barrel.
That's really cool. I like your process you went through there. Name the entire range and then pick one. That's good.
I mean, I could have moved on. You're just not happy because I didn't like Escher.
No, I'm just saying I appreciate the way you went about it.
I like the sound of my own voice, so get used to it.
Don't we all? Okay, and the last question we like asking people there, I think I've changed the order on them. What's your favorite piece of Necromunda lore? Like, doesn't matter how abstract or, you know, sort of niche it is. What is it?
I liked the spires and how they, and just who they were and how that, you know, a bunch of rich, spoilt brats, and they'd go down and have a bit of fun, you know, hunting all the scabbies and beating up all the lesser pings. It was a sport to them. I always liked that side of it. No, I just like the lore behind that. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, the upper class using the lower class as sport. I didn't fully understand the lore that much. To me, it was just a hive city. In my mind, you could associate the game with any hive city in the galaxy.
That's what we like. That's what we're doing it for, so people can learn. So we're going to be talking about the weapons of Necromunda. And we're opening up the armories on this one here and starting out with something that Nathan has a very, very, very special place in his heart for. And I know you will as well, Steve, given your background in some of those earlier editions of Warhammer 40K. And we're looking at the Las Gun and its variants. So I think it's a pretty catchy title that Nathan's come up with. This particular episode is called what, Nathan?
Lasers, Tasers, and Light Shows. You're welcome. Yeah, so this is, as you say, it holds a very special place in my heart, not only because of the gang, my favorite gang in Necromunda being Escher, but also and I've mentioned this a few times in a couple of episodes, is that I'm a big Astra Militarum player, so the Las Gun I consider is the most formidable weapon in the galaxy, not necessarily because it's any good on its own, but there's so many of them. So you're right. I was looking forward to doing this. And just furthermore to what you were saying about why we're doing these episodes, we're going down this pathway so that we can go down these carotid holes in a bit more depth and detail. We do know that we go on little tangents, and this gives us an opportunity to focus an episode purely on a tangent rather than have to just give it a little bit of lip service during a main episode and then potentially not have the opportunity to come back to it either.
And especially because this is a topic so near and dear to your heart, Nathan, why don't you take us away?
A mainstay of the 41st millennium, the ubiquitous Las Gun is the workhorse of the Imperium, serving the vast armies of the Astra Militarum, planetary defense forces, and Hive militias. The Hive gangs of Necromunda are no exception, employing Las weapons in many variations, from the technologically advanced weaponry of House Van Saar to the baroque and elegant weapons of House Escher. Las weapons on Necromunda are as common as Hive scum and as numerous as Hive rats. However, the basic Las Gun deserves a special mention as a symbol of practicality and survival. In Necromunda, where the urban labyrinth is a constant battleground and the survival of a noble house depends on cunning strategies, an adaptable weapon like the Las Gun shines. It represents the equilibrium between the necessary pragmatism of warfare, and its reliability and ease of maintenance prove essential in an environment that requires both dependable weapons and demands a capacity to repel rival factions. As the noble houses seek dominance within this caustic and unforgiving world, the Las Gun stands as a versatile tool. Its energy beams piercing through the shadows and chaos that envelop Necromunda, yet it also serves as a reminder that even advanced technology, when wielded within the dark corners of this universe, can scarcely temper the relentless brutality that is Necromunda.
and utilitarian weapon that is the las gun. Now, my own personal house, the glorious house of Vansar, we have a few different variants available to us, primarily the Tamar's Nihilus pattern las gun. And I think you gals over there in House Escher pretend to have your own design, is it?
It's true. But what I found in doing a little bit of a deep dive with these las weapons is that the Vansar have variations on the weapon, whereas Escher have more sort of aesthetic variations. So we're looking at dueling pistol grips. We're looking at other design elements incorporated into the weaponry, but the base element of the weapon is not changing, other than mainly running las guns and las pistols. And I found that very interesting. It was obviously a throw to the fact that when Escher go to battle and when they kill you, they want to do it in style and they want to look the best whilst doing that. Whereas the technologically advanced Vansar weapons are more built around the fact that they are improvements on what is already a great piece of equipment.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, the House de Lark weaponry itself, it shows a lot of their mindset and their approach when it comes to combat itself. They're sleek, they're light, they don't really have anything more than they need to. A lot of them have those really cool skeleton sort of stocks on them, and everything seems quite compact and hidden away. Whereas, you know, you look at the quite obviously superior Vansar weaponry.
You have a problem, but yes, continue.
Where it's quite obviously at that higher technological level, whether it be the, you know, the sleek las pistol, the, you know, let's be honest, like, we have the coolest looking las guns.
Yeah, you know, your coolest looking guns. But you do notice that their las guns are actually chunkier. You know, you even take from the basic las gun that's in common use within the Imperium, the Vansar gun is a larger variation of that, from an aesthetic point of view. Now, that's interesting because it's obviously, and again, we reiterate this point many times in the pod, is that we're not focused on the rules, but it's not reflective in the rules. The same las gun that's being run on an Escher sister is the same las gun that's being run on a Vansar tech. So it's that I find pretty interesting. I would love to see, you know, a little bit more depth and detail given to the humble las gun as to why it is differentiated between each gang and so forth. And it's something that you and I have discussed as well, about the fact that, you know, you take, for instance, the Death Corps of Krieg, which is an Astra Militarum regiment, and their las gun is supposedly
Lucius 98.
Yeah, supposedly fires differently to, say, a Cantrell pattern las gun. Again, you don't see that on the tabletop, but the lore supports the fact that that weapon operates slightly differently.
Well, you mentioned the Vansar weaponry looking more advanced, looking more powerful. And if you remember back to episode 0, where I mentioned one of my favorite pieces of lore was a bunch of Vansar las guns had actually been sent through to the Astra Militarum by mistake. And it actually lists that these las guns were made, and they were operating outside of the normal combat parameters. And these included horrible things like above average combat efficiency, temperamental machine spirits, no bayonet attachment points, unexpected operator hair loss, and then just unexpected operator death. And yeah, if you had been issued with one of these las guns, they're like, hey, you need to give it back to the quartermaster, and we will get you an expedited replacement weapon to be issued in the next, like, 2 or 3 months. So
good old Minister. Good on him.
Yeah. And it also then mentioned that they were issued almost new condition plasma guns, but they were permanently locked in the overcharge setting. But that's exactly it. Like, there are these differences here, and yes, we're going to go on about this every time we start talking about rules. It's specifically stated that they are more powerful. And yeah, the example for the Lucius, but number 98, it operates at a higher, I think it's like a 20, it's like a 22 or 23 megathul range, where it just, it draws more from the power pack. Yeah.
The standard operates at 19 megathul, I think it is.
I've got to look that up now.
Just wait.
No, it's 20. It's 21. The Lucius number 98 pattern operates in the 21 megathul range, right, and simply draws power from the standard Munitorum issue power pack. Right. And so that discharges a more powerful shot, but drains the power pack faster.
Oh, righto. So it's almost, you know, for use of a better term, we're sort of talking like a bolt action sort of weapon where it's,
yeah,
you know, punch out a shot, let it build up, punch out another shot. Yeah, righto. Okay.
And there, you're absolutely right on the standard. If we look at sort of what's the most common LAS gun sort of around at the moment, and according to a lot of places, that's the M35 M Galaxy short pattern. And this bad boy comes in at 2.3 kilograms of weight.
Yeah, right.
I think... what is that in pounds? That is 5.07 for our Norto Americano listeners. And looking at that continuing there, it is 900 millimeters in length. I believe that's about a shovel in length. I believe Americans measure in shovels.
Yeah, they use imperial system, yeah. But just not the correct imperial system. Yeah, I understand.
Which would be millimeters. Yes. And you are absolutely right. The magazine type sits in the 19 megathul range.
Yeah. So that's your standard shot. That's what I guess gives it the interpretation that it's just a flashlight. So it's not as powerful. But yeah, obviously the Death Corps and other variations can, and you can overcharge a LAS gun as well. So that's something that's, again, we don't see this reflective on a tabletop, which is fine, but within the gamut of the lore, we know that that pack can be like cranked right up. And I think I remember reading some lore a very long time ago, not necessarily Necromunda related, but where they've overcharged LAS guns, they fire out the battery with a single shot, destroys the battery, but also can ruin the barrel as well. So it gives you this,
that's right,
this one-time shot. Yeah, it gives you this, well, like you've got something charging down and you got, mate, I've got time for one single shot, ramp up my battery and just let it cook. And but again, within that lore, it doesn't tell you the size of the battery. It doesn't tell you the make and model of the LAS gun. So for any gangers out there wanting to overcharge your LAS guns, just calm down. You need to make sure you've got the right tech first.
And be prepared to commend your soul to the Emperor.
Yeah, true.
We did afterwards.
Or whatever heathen god or gods it may be that you believe in.
Yeah.
But what you've said there, Nathan, is in my mind what makes the sort of leading, it leads into what makes the LAS gun the perfect weapon for the type of combat that we're going to be talking about, which is it typically in your underhive setting. And don't get me wrong, we can talk about the ash waste. Don't take a LAS gun to the ash waste. It's sand, it's coarse, it gets everywhere. And
but you can charge your batteries in the sun. So
you can charge your batteries in the sun.
Yep.
Now, the LAS gun can be used by literally anyone. It's pick it up, point it, and shoot it. And the ammunition in regards to this, this is one thing that is reflected in those rules there. The ammo roll of a LAS gun is always really low. Standard, I believe, is 2+, and it's a plentiful weapon.
Yeah.
So it shows with those basic LAS guns that there's ammo everywhere for it, because you run out of ammo, you plug it into a couple of 9 volts and you charge it back up. You have the ability to recharge it via solar. You can have dedicated charging ports. If you really want to, throw it into a fire, take it out after a couple of minutes, and that bad boy is charged up again.
Yeah, no, that's what makes it. And I think we mentioned that in the first read about the versatility of this weapon and how it's so popular is that it's hard wearing and it can be used by anybody, and it can also be functional in the most harsh of conditions, because you in effect have a continuous ammunition supply, provided that you're able to get the batteries to the right extreme, or you know, charge them up to the right level. All you can do is just unplug the Tesla, put a few batteries in, you sort it.
It's literally just a conversion of energy. Mm. You just need to provide it with some form of energy, and that last gun power pack will do the rest of it itself.
Yeah.
I just love how it's progressed with the law. I mean, when I first saw the last gun, it was just, you know, like in the Road Trader book, it was just like a paragraph, a small little paragraph of the description. And now, you know, and ever since, how long has it been? When did they start bringing the variants in? Yeah, like it was just this basic weapon of, oh, well, they've got a las gun. Now it's, there's so much lore around it, yeah? You know, it's just grown and the different patterns and all that sort of stuff. That's just one thing I love about the game, is so much lore you can go into on this. It's like the M16 of the galaxy.
Yeah, true.
Or I guess the M4 now.
M4, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
But, I just love how it's grown. This is the first weapon in, you know.
Yeah, true. When you're speaking about growing, there's something that I love from, and Sam, correct me here, the Vansar, where they actually have combi las pistols. So
yes, we do, sir.
And what I love about this, it is very Necromunda centric. It's my understanding, it's the only place where you see this combi las pistol, where they've taken the technology of a combi weapon and they've brought it right back down to a pistol size. So you don't see a pistol combi weapon anywhere else existing, and yet the Vansar have got it. And then rather than going, you know, combi bolt pistol to something else, they've gone a combi las pistol, and the imagery that you see for it looks unwieldy, it looks sort of semi-clunky, but it also looks incredibly awesome and just incredibly deadly all at the same time. I really love that, Steve, when you're mentioning about the variation and the depth and how much it's grown in the lore. The creators of the game have decided, okay, we're going to go down a pathway and we're just going to build on all these different elements. And it's not just about the variations on the basic las gun, but it's variations of how it exists. And look, there are variations on the laser weapons within the game. And if we go down that pathway, it is quite the carrier tit hole, but special mentions go to obviously the las pistol, the las cannon, the multi-laser as well.
But I mean, I just love the, I think I'm going to probably pronounce it so badly here. The Volstrayan, is it Volstrayan?
The Volstrayan.
And it's basically just a las gun, but it's turned more like into a family heirloom, where like the actual, you know, the butt is actually finely crafted, you know, and it's more of a, like a, it's an heirloom weapon. It's something you hand down to your son or a family or something like that. And it means something.
And those Vostroyan weapons are exactly it. They are lore within themselves. And like you said, they're handed down. They're handed down from firstborn to firstborn as a prized heirloom of the family. And that's one thing that they've taken, this simple standard weapon that every Imperial Guardsman gets. You're outside of some specialized regiments, you're handed a las gun, three meals, a helmet, and told, get at him. And eventually someone will probably pick up most of those things from your corpse. But if you manage to survive, you've got a pretty, you know, happy day of memories behind you there. But
I didn't realize I was given three meals as well.
I know. It's a really elite regiment, is it?
Yeah. It's one meal, two pieces of gum and a mint. But yeah, those Vostroyan patterns las guns, they're sick because, yeah, they've got those beautiful, long, ornate, curved-out stocks, and they almost look like those old-school flintlock rifles, but, you know, with some techno gubbins on top of them. And that's actually a great segue there, Steve, because some of those and I'm, you know, I know we're a Necromunda podcast, but I also want to talk about how cool some of these Imperial Guard weapons are. I'm sorry. But those Vostroya pattern guns, they're awesome, but some of the different variants of, and this can be included in some of the Necromunda stuff, some of the different variants on just las guns, where we're talking about las guns and different makes and models and that. But what about the variants like las carbines, where it's the same thing, but you know, it's a lighter cut down with a shorter barrel, shorter range, and a slightly fewer shots? Or where we look at, I believe it was the shot las, where it's a las gun that's a shotgun, and if you're kicking back with the gang and some tunnels, and you're going to be fighting off that group of local Goliaths. Sometimes a laser shotgun just seems awesome. And this just shows that, it's going back to what Nathan said there, it stands as a very versatile tool where anyone in one of either an official Adeptus Mechanicus station or an illegal weapons modification factory, or, you know, some guy with a hammer and a few lengths of metal conduit who's like, I'm going to make me a sniper rifle. They can make these changes, and you're taking that very standard weapon and you're making these amazing variations. And that then takes us into like the long lass.
Yeah. And the hot shot.
And the hot shot.
Yeah.
Like the long lass is basically just a,
yeah, the hell gun sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hot shot lass gun. But the hot shot marksman rifle is literally a hot shot lass gun with a longer barrel and better optics, and you are giving someone on the other side of your hab dome a very bad day.
Yeah, true. But speaking of the hotshot, in our research for this episode, we have found that there's a bit of variation about exactly what it fires. So, not the hotshot, the long las.
The long las.
The long las can actually fire a hot shot round. But what I found interesting about that is it's also got its own type of battery packet. So rather than using a solid state battery that the other las guns are using, it uses a liquid metal battery. So yeah, I'm no scientist, don't really understand exactly what the difference is between a solid state and a liquid metal battery, but it just shows that there's a bit of thought given into exactly how the weapon functions and the way that it fires that particular round. And it's something that we found out about, was it the needle rifle, Sam?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So different variants of the needle rifle can technically be classed as a las weapon, because some of them literally do, as they're named. They fire a needle or a dart at a long range, and it's a chemical reaction that kills you. But some of them will actually first fire a super thin and focused laser that will actually puncture the skin or the armor. And then immediately behind that comes the needle. And that's actually what punctures in and inevitably kills your target, hopefully.
Well, that's what delivers the venom. Yeah, yeah.
Correct, yeah. And, I mean, you look at the las gun in general, where we're talking about a lot of these specialized ones there. But the las gun is effectively a beam of focused light. And from my sort of limited memories on how the different types of packs work, the hotshot las pack fires much heavier. You know, I couldn't give you the exact number, but talking about like the Krieg pattern before, that was at the 21. I can imagine this would be at like the 41.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I actually have the Imperial Minotaurium manual in front of me. So what it's saying here is that that it can actually fire a more, yeah, you're right. It's about 42 megathil. So
From what I remember, the lads gun, it's not an actual laser weapon. It's not a true laser weapon, from understanding.
This is heresy. Go on.
No, honestly, no. From what I've got it in front of me. Yeah, it's like an excerpt from a White Dwarf magazine where they basically said Imperial laser weapons are not true laser weapons, but rather sophisticated particle beam weapons that emit a coherent packet of energy that can melt through armor and sear flesh on impact. So yeah, that's what I always wondered. Does it classify as a laser weapon, or is it just a
So it's a beam weapon.
Yeah, like a and Laz was just like the term Laz was just something they applied to all weapons of that type in the Imperium, going from the Laz cannon to the Laz pistol to which kind of makes sense, I imagine, like, not meaning to switch to another race, is maybe why it's for the Elder Laz weapons are more superior, because maybe they're true laser, I don't know, or it's just better tech. But I always didn't think it was an actual laser, but I remember reading that, so that's why I was looking for it today, and this is what I found. So I don't know if that's being retconned or anything like that, or if it's changed, but
yeah, right. It sounds like heresy, and
yeah, it possibly is, but you know, I don't use flashlights anyway, so it doesn't bother me.
Just another thing I wanted to mention. I know I'm taking us back to something we've already talked about the variations on the laser gun, and something that I think any seasoned player would be able to recognise is that you take, for example, a weapon like the bolt gun, a bolter for those who are unsure what a bolt gun is. But you take for that weapon. Now, when you see a bolt gun in its all of its different iterations and variations, it is still fundamentally looks like a bolt gun, whether it's a Space Marine using it, whether it's an Escher using it, whether it's another gang or Venator or something else using it. You're going to be able to see and go, that's clearly a bolt gun. It has all the dynamics and all the main bits and bobs that make it a bolt gun. And already what we've mentioned in this episode is that the Laz gun, it can look so diverse depending on which regiment it's being used for, which gang it's being used for. And that I really love about the weapon. It is that it is something that is almost fully customizable depending on the aesthetics of what you're looking for in your gang or what you're looking for your particular troopers. If you want a really grubby, horrible looking, as you say, piece together sort of Laz gun, Sam, like, you know, a couple of bits of coil and whatever, you can go down that pathway, or you can go for a really sleek, polished looking weapon like what House Delacroix have as well. So that element is something that I've seen that I'm like, that is really cool. That allows me to put my own flavor into the weapon that my gang is using, not just the aesthetic of my gang of gang members.
100%. And like what you've said there hits on so many different levels in regards to the way the Laz gun is. It's almost as if they've taken the very basic internal mechanisms and said, this is cool. And everything is then built around it, whether it be the, you know, like I've said before, the Nihilus pattern Laz guns of House Van Saar, whether it be the, you know, the coiled hood pattern Laz guns that the Dalak use, or you go to some of the, I believe the Outcast, the sump pattern they have that's really just this internal mechanism with a piece of wood as a stock and some tape wrapped around it. You look at some of the stuff that comes out of the Astra Militarum, where, you know, that M35, or you look at the Cantrail MG short patterns, you look at the Mars pattern Laz rifles, they're so long, they're almost like a Jazail.
And that's another thing, we're not even touching on ADMEC, and for those, again,
that's where you start looking at the, I believe it's a Laz lock that's used by is the Tech Thralls.
Yeah.
They've got those real ornate sort of Laz locks that go on there. Or was it the Jazali? The Jazali were used during the Great Crusade, and there were more of a picture what the custodes have with those long spears with the bolters on the end. But instead, they're basically a Jazali, which is super long rifle that just had this huge bayonet on the top. Like, they were awesome.
That's cool.
And
is that that's pre-heresy?
That's during the Great Crusade.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
And it shows you that they've taken the very basic concept of what the Laz gun is, and they've made all these variations. And I keep saying that it just goes back to what you said before. It just shows you how versatile, adaptable, and malleable the very basic and humble Laz gun can be, whether you're running it as a Laz gun, you're cutting it down into a las carbine. You're making it longer for, you know, a long las, whether you're strapping a fully auto, you know, firing pin on it and slapping on a drum magazine and you're turning it into a Fractrix pattern assault laser, whether you're connecting it to a tiny nuclear reactor and turning it into a las cannon. I mean, we can keep going. Like, isn't there a guard tank with a las gun down the middle? It's a tank hunter.
Are you talking about a turbo laser?
Yeah, buddy.
Or even the shadow sword, I think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it scales right up, I guess. You know, that's something I've been thinking about with this, and I've been reading up about digilasers as part of my research for this as well.
Going the opposite, making it
smaller. So yeah, you're going the complete opposite end of the spectrum there, and this shows that the laser technology within the 40K universe is something that is probably the most explored, you would have to say. So the bolt weaponry is the most iconic. Potentially, but against the lasgun, but the bolt weaponry sort of has a sort of an end cap as where it can, the smallest it can get to, and sort of a top cap as to where it can it be expanded out to, sort of, you know, for use.
Well, you can kind of draw parallels though. Like, you've got the bolt pistol, you know, the las pistol, then the bolter, the lasgun, and then it keeps going up to like the turbo laser, then the, what's the equivalent when it comes to the
a Vulcan megabolt.
Yeah, but you don't go down to the digi lasers. You don't do that with
exactly.
You're just carrying a bolt shell on a ring, and you're just flicking the back of it. Hopefully it fires.
Yeah.
Just having to get that hand replaced with a new bionic every other week. You dread firing the thing. You're like, oh god, I've got to use this. Oh no.
But while you've been talking, I just did a little bit of research again, and it is a beam weapon. From everything I'm reading here, it is definitely a beam weapon. I found how it works, and the talks in the ins and outs of it, and what the power packs and discharge generators and all that sort of stuff in there. But I can go through that if you want, but I'm not sure how much detail you want to go into on the lasgun.
Well, it is a lasgun episode, so I don't know. You tell me.
We've talked a fair amount about bolt weapons, so we may as well talk about lasguns a little bit.
Yeah. So basically, it emits a short duration of high energy beam, produces such a rapid temperature change on the target surface that it vaporizes in a small explosion. Yeah. And this is from which rule book is it saying from? From an earlier one. Basically, lasguns are driven by a fast discharge generator, which comprises mostly of a lasgun's mechanism and stores energy for each shot. Actual beam energy is regulated to prevent overpowering, making the lasgun very reliable. It's a single-shot weapon, but lasguns can maintain a high rate of fire in the hands of a trained guardsman with good firing drill. But here, this is the interesting part. Power packs feed the discharge generator. Rechargeable power packs or batteries, usually with a highly efficient liquid metal core, vary between small internal packs used in lasguns and pistols to massive power packs the size of crates that power las cannons and multi-lasers. And you can even remember the models on the old las cannon for Imperial Guards. And you can literally see those power packs in the back of the model, you know, the back of the gun.
Yeah, or those big snaking cables on the ground leading to those big, you know, those crate, little ammo crate sized power packs.
Yeah, the crewmen were holding them in their hands and stuff like that. And
that gets us into an interesting point of a las cannon in the Necromunda universe. I know the episode's about las gun, but the las cannon in the Necromunda universe, then the power supply and the volume of energy required to fire that, it's almost like you need a loader to run alongside with the firer. So, because otherwise, how is he going to maintain running with a large power pack as well?
Can you take a las cannon?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've never noticed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy. It depends. So, if you look at some of the particular models when it comes to the larger, heavier weaponry, a lot of the times you'll find that they have quite obvious power packs within them. Las cannons. There is the only one I can think of being the Vansar Champion from Forge World. He has the double-barreled las cannon.
Fuck off, really?
And, yeah. 12. That's our one swear of the episode. and there's two whopping big sort of like, I'd say, codex sized power packs on the size on the side of that thing. Yeah, it's you'll remember the model.
Oh, see, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, I know it. Yeah, but see, this is what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't, like, you take a guard heavy weapons team, and that thing needs to put its power packs on the side and haul them around. You've got this geezer running around with a double-barreled fucking let me sort you out bloody las cannon, and he's just mounting it on his shoulder. He's like, yeah, that's cool. I'm classic 1980s style guardsman with the las cannon on my shoulder.
He's also got huge servos in his legs.
Oh, yeah, he does too. He's
got image? Have you seen the image of the Goliath with the las cannon?
No.
I think Mark Gibbons drew it. He's basically holding it like a normal gun.
Oh, yeah. But you can't compare a Goliath to us normal-sized humans.
It's such a cool picture.
Yeah. Well, looking at those different variations and sort of pulling this back into something I know Nathan has been excited to talk about, when we think of the different patterns of las guns, whether they be from Necromunda, the Imperial Guard, whatever, in your opinion, when you look at a las gun, what is your favorite pattern? So I want to start with you there, Nathan. In your opinion, what is the best pattern of las gun?
There is only one brilliant pattern, and that is the riser. That is the most iconic looking, the most least functional looking, but also the coolest.
It looks like someone turned an ornate, like, ceremonial axe into a laser gun.
Yeah, true. It really looks like the handle has been added as an afterthought. They're like, we've designed an awesome laser weapon. Oh, yeah? How do you shoot it? Oh, right. Missed out on that little chuck-a-dee of information, and they've just kind of bolted that on. And it really looks like that. You remove the handle, and that las gun can be fixed to a tank or fixed to some sort of held emplacement and just bolted on there because the mechanism for the actual las gun is in handle and barrel.
Yes. Yes. It genuinely, the apprentices looked at that afterwards and been like, oh, boss, I forgot to put a handle on it. Oh, just slap it on there. No one will notice.
Yeah, yeah. And sorry, when I mentioned the handle and barrel, I'm talking, it's got an underslung part where you grip onto, not the actual firing handle. So it just looks like that grip plus the barrel. That was the design brief. And then they've gone, oh, well, we need to be able to give these to troopers as well. Bit of a whoopsie-do there.
Okay, so we've got one vote for riser.
But they probably didn't give it to troopers. You know, a guy just needed one, took it off a tank or something, and you know, and then made his own stock.
For so long in the Rogue Trader artwork, they were all kicking on with riser pattern las guns.
Yeah.
And I think it, for so long until that M35 came along, it was the bee's knees. The M35, then the M36 Cantrail was, I think, the Cadian issued one. Though it was the riser pattern, then the M35 and M36. And yeah, I've got to agree. I think that the riser is absolutely fantastic. Steve, what's yours?
In all honesty, I'd probably take the Eldar variant, the real one. You know, but they don't use them anymore because, you know, shuriken catapults are more superior.
Is it the last blaster?
I think that's what they call it now, but back in the day it was just called
the last blaster is I want to say, this shows you how terrible I am with Eldar, the swooping hawks.
Yes, yeah, they had it, but so did the guardians had it as well back in the day. But look, honestly, the las gun, I would just go with the standard variant, man.
From the Cadians?
Yeah, the Cadians.
Yeah, it's just, the M36 Cantrail pattern.
Yeah, it just looked like this reliable weapon that, it's no bolt gun, but yeah, it's just a...
It's no bolt gun, it's just reliable and usable by an average person.
Can I say, though, well, just something that I want to mention about the Lasgun as well is that the computer game Darktide, so that's the first-person shooter for Warhammer 40,000, that has some of the, if you haven't played it, get out there and play it. It has some of the best displays of variations of how a Lasgun would fire. So you've yes. got the Elysian, I can't think of the name of it, the Elysian drop trooper variant, which is like a rapid firing, and it fires exactly like that. So for use of a better term, fires like a submachine gun. It gives a true
Alcatraz pattern Mark IV.
That's the one. I forgot
about the drop troops. That was a great
last gun. It's a cool looking one. It also, again, like the Death Corps Krieg variation. What's the variation, Sam?
The Lucius 98.
Good man. Yes. I like your memory. It shows you how these weapons would fire within this environment, within this game. And it's really cool. Like when I first played it, I just wanted to fire all the different variations because I was like, this is actually awesome. Like this is the lore taking form, taking shape, where it's not reliant on how it's going to function on the tabletop, but just showing us exactly how these weapons would work in that universe. Yeah. But just a little tangent I wanted to go on to, just because I think it, for anybody who wants to see the weapons of 40K firing, and particularly the Lasgun, that game is an excellent display of it.
Oh, it's the different weapon variations in that game are enough to just be like, yeah, I'll get it. You know, yeah. Buy it on sale or whatever, get it, because, yeah, shooting those weapons is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And also, you can hang out with a giant Ogryn. Yeah. Why would you not?
True, very true. Something that we mentioned just before as well about the Cadians, and it's something that myself and Sam have spoken about recently, is the newer Cadian since the fall of Cadia. And for those people who don't know, that was the destruction of an entire planet, and the Cadians are the most common troops in the Imperium. Since the fall of their planet, the newer Cadians now have all these different variations of the Lasgun in that comes, and I think that's a really awesome touch. It's again one of those things that we harp on a lot about, is that the look of something, and it may not reflect itself on the tabletop, but the look of something is just as vital as how well it functions. So to have all these different iterations, different variations of the Lasgun in one kit is really cool, and it's also obviously a great opportunity for anybody who's looking to equip their gang a little bit differently. You can find multiple different variations on this gun and a few other little elements as well. There's a really cool auto gun in there, but having that shows not only a representation of the lore that the Cadians are no longer able to supply themselves as well as they used to, but also shows us that the Lasgun is so common within this environment that they can just pick up multiple different elements of it and still have it functioning.
And that's one thing I love about that new Cadian kit. Once again, moving away from lore and moving towards just models, because, you know, models are awesome. The new Cadian kit, I'm looking at it here. I think there's like four different patterns of Lasgun on this thing. There's one that looks like a Voss pattern. That one there looks like the Cantrail. That one, I mean, that almost looks like a triplex pattern.
Wow. That's cool.
Like, it's awesome. This one here genuinely looks like a Lucius 98 with almost a more square, like, stock on it. And, yeah, that's on just the Command Squad kit right there.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
And it shows, and the Cadians themselves, we get it there. They're one of the most highly trained and numerous regiments in the galaxy. And your average Cadian is going to be better than, you know, your above average of any other regiment. So naturally, they would be able to pick up any Lasgun and just know how to use it. But yeah, just how it adds on to the lore there that their homeworld's gone now. And they may not have had all the supplies and resources that they had previously on Cadia. So there is that bit of variation now. It's no longer just the veteran squads that have different weapons. It's everyone. They've got what's issued to them, and they're all coming from different sources. And when we're looking at an environment like Necromunda, where our gangs don't necessarily have the most secure supply lines or the most ready available access to the exact type of weapon they have. This is a great way to throw in just a little bit of flavor for your gangs or a little bit of flavor for your NPC characters that you're making, where you might be giving them different weaponry than you'd usually see. And if go out, buy a box of Deathcore Krieg and give all of your Escher Lucius 98s. Go out and get a box of the Cadians and give your Vansar this, you know, varied range. Even though you'd be taking a step down from Vansar issued equipment, it does make you look cool.
But that's all that matters.
That is all that matters. Now, I'm actually going to back up Nathan here on the question I asked and say that the riser pattern, in my humble opinion, is without doubt the coolest looking Lascun around, followed probably quite close by the Mars pattern. I think those long boys are real cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But with the third option obviously being the Las Cannon, or as it was known in the Rogue Trader era, the Blazooga. That is that is serious. Look it up. It was literally known as the Blazooga, and I will die on the hill that it should be called a Blazooga.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that it was called a Blazooga, but sure.
I will get you a reference. Rogue Trader, page 86.
I'm basically on page 86 right now. And it is called, it's called a Las Cannon. It says Las Cannon, the Las Cannon, Laser Cannon. Oh, wait, here we go. Las Cannon, Laser Cannon, or Blazooga is a weighty tubular weapon usually fired off the shoulder or from a mount of some kind. It is frequently mounted on vehicles as their main armament. You are right. It was called a Blazooga as well. Blazooga.
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 I don't like it. I just don't like it at all. Fair enough.
Well, that is Timmy Helmore approved. And now we've gone, this has gone a lot longer than I was expecting, especially for a short episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're going to wrap this one up as we like to do with a quote. And this one here is actually about my third favorite variant of Last Weapon, the glorious Blazooga. You want to know why your gang needs a Las Cannon? Ask me again after you run into a Jack Dambot or one of those Ogryn servitors with fists the size of your head. Are you going to hope a few stub rounds puts it down? Or do you want to be sure? I mean really, really sure. And that's for Honest Cabus of Cabus's Quality Arms in Girder City. Now, thank you very much for joining us for this episode. This has been the first of our Open the Armory series. We will be doing these episodes as frequently as we can. And the next one, I'm thinking we go something a little bit heavier. Don't know what it's going to be yet, but it will be. And guys, did we have any closing thoughts there?
Well, thanks for having me on, for starters. I do think it's funny you brought me on to an episode where my gang doesn't even use las guns, man. I'm Orlok, you know, so.
And just despite you, we will not have you on the episode about either Orloks, shotguns, or autoguns.
Yeah, it's a bit harsh, but okay. But just want to say it was good fun being here.
No, it's been good having you on, dude, and we will make sure to get you on for maybe an episode that you'll have something that you'll be able to talk about. Probably not, though. Nathan, any thoughts there, dude?
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode. We got to talk about not only my favorite gang again, but the Las Gun. I really rate that as a weapon, and I enjoyed having you on, Steve. It's been a good laugh. And honestly, I feel like I need to buy a Las Cannon from Honest Cabs.
It's going to be our go-to store for Blazoogas and Blazooga accessories. And on that note, on behalf of the Lawkeeper team, I'd like to thank you for tuning into this episode and hope you enjoyed learning a little more about the humble and glorious Lascun. Until we next open the armory, don't be afraid to dial up the power pack to 23 and live life like a Kreisman. As always, thanks.